Welcome to Bounce Back. My name's Yvonne Fletcher from NY Events and you're listening in to DRN1. Bounce Back is a fun talk back show where I get to chat to comical people. And today I have comedian Jared Goundry. Hi, Jared. How are you?
Very well. We're just having the greatest time off air. We were literally sitting in here maybe talking for 10 to 12 minutes and laughing. And we're like, what are we doing? We need to turn this on. Like, otherwise we're going to burn it all. And then we'll get on there and be like, yeah, it's great. Thank you. It's lovely to be here. It's fine. And now, so it's always a pleasure. It's always a pleasure to come in, A, talk to you, and B, be down here. Like, this is such a wonderful setup and a wonderful thing that's going on, like digital.
Oh, thank you.
I'm loving it. And it's good. It's good to be back in town.
Yeah, it's great to have you back in Perth.
It's hard to get in these days, isn't it?
Oh, what did you have to do this time to get in?
There's like a bouncer on the door at the airport. They're like, no, you can't come in. You know, like, what's your temperature? What's happening? It's like, I call Perth Airport now, you have to go through customs.
Oh, but they don't have machine guns yet. No one's looking like Bane, are they?
Not yet. Looking like Bane. Not in those shoes, buddy. Yeah. We were just discussing before we got on air how your voice is potentially getting more husky.
Oh, no.
That's a good thing, though, isn't it?
But that's because we've had so much smoke in Perth. And
is that what
it's been? Yeah, okay. Yeah, because that kind of, it's not nice.
It makes it huskier. So the whole of Perth is now 20% more sexy. Is that what's happening? Everyone's walking around me like, okay, how are you going? What are you wearing?
Yeah,
it's just
yeah, doing all that tonal work. But we were saying that we weren't sure if we weren't sure if people actually call those numbers anymore, those 1-800
sexy numbers.
Yeah.
Surely that industry's done.
Do they exist?
Come on. Like, I don't know. Must have been, maybe there's like one last sort of like retro. It might come back.
Maybe.
Like retro things are coming back. You might pay $5 a minute to talk to someone who's knitting. But in my mind, that's just their job.
Yeah.
So they just go in and they're like, well, I'm on the side. They're doing their taxes and they're doing their things and they're
marking
reports, because there might be teachers, because it's a vast industry that, you know.
Teachers.
All you have to do is have a nice voice. Yeah. A lot of them don't want to do it. They just say, well, I have to because my voice is just so good, you know. And no, I haven't done any research in this.
All right, right.
I'm just purely
I think there's an industry still for webcam girls, and I see them kind of scouting on the singles pages, you know.
Do you?
Yeah.
How does one scout for a webcam girl?
No, follow me on this and then pay me on that. And
I get maybe 4 times a day I'll get a Facebook sort of request, and it's from someone who I don't know with an elaborate name and is very voluptuously, like, scantily dressed. Zero mutual friends.
Yep.
And I'm thinking, I don't think I know this person. And then you go into their profile and you're like, oh, okay, this is some form of, like, trap porn thing. Yeah. And then once I went in and I was like, I found one. I was like, oh my god, like, one mutual friend. I was like, who is that? It was my dad.
Oh no.
Because he's just so naive about the entire process of Facebook. He's like, yeah, it's just good, you could meet people. And
yeah,
I'm like, dad, you gotta,
it's just innocent to him. And
yeah, he's like, yeah, it's good, like, we got mutual friends now because, like, you're in comedy. Like, I don't want to.
Oh my gosh, the mutual friend thing. Obviously in the comedy circuit you kind of can tell if someone's in comedy because there's so many mutuals.
Like 75 to 140.
Yeah, yeah, it kind of is a green light. Yeah,
that's, comedy has ruined social media for me.
Why?
Because you have to use it for work.
Yeah.
You have to, you know, there's an onus, or there's some form of, like, obligation that you need to be good at it to go somewhere.
Okay, so you've got to have a big following.
You've got to at least you know, have one foot. You need to be telling everyone what you're doing, right?
Mm.
Because you need to tell, A, you need to build an audience.
Yep.
And B, when you approach people in the industry for more work and more gigs, like, what's the first thing you do when somebody sends you a message on the Facebook? Do you go straight into the profile and see what they've been up to?
Maybe, yeah, sometimes.
So it's good to, like, if you're getting work, it's good to show, it's good to look professional on there.
Yeah.
But in the process, I don't use any social media for anything social anymore. You know, like, I'm not putting up pictures of my brunch like everyone else. I'm not taking pictures of lattes like the general population. Not one dog on there.
I think you need to humanize yourself as well still. And you still need to be, I mean, you're a friend of mine on Facebook and I still have things like
We're
my life.
We're actual friends too.
In real life, we are friends.
So when I like something of yours, it's genuine.
Oh,
it's
thank you.
It's not just because I want a gig.
Oh.
You're like, that's
I feel
nicest,
a bit fluffy now.
That's the nicest thing I've ever heard. Because I've actually been doing this wonderful activity this year, my New Year's resolution, because I got to this point with Facebook especially, and I thought, I don't know what's going on here. I've got, I don't know, 2,000 friends. I probably know six of them. So I've been doing this thing. So every day birthdays come up.
Yep.
Now, it's been my New Year's resolution to wish everybody on Facebook happy birthday.
Yep.
Now, if I don't know them well enough or it's going to be weird for me to wish them happy birthday on their birthday, I delete them.
Do you?
Yeah. And I've been surprisingly getting rid of a few.
Oh, okay.
I just like it's so I don't know them at all. It would be strange for me to go, oh, g'day, Brian, like making sure you're having a good day. Like that would, if it's too odd for me to wish someone happy birthday, get rid of
them. I'm looking at you like really strangely now because I have always, and I've slowed down a little bit, but sent a happy birthday message to someone. If they're friends of mine on Facebook, I love that little reminder and I'll go, hey, have a wonderful day, blah, 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 and yeah.
I'm interested to see how many birthday messages I get on the 29th of September for everyone listening. That's when it is. Get me on the Facebook. and because surely there needs to be some coming back.
No, yeah, you're wouldn't doing it? The pay it back thing.
Look, that's not why I'm doing it. First and foremost, it's because I want to like it's an experiment for me to be like, well, how much do I care? You know, because I think wishing someone happy birthday is probably the most simplest thing you can do.
Aww.
And like just. Like how nice is that to say happy birthday to someone? It doesn't take anything. It's just good manners. So if I can't do it, then they don't deserve to be there. Which means I've got a few conundrums though, because I've been following this this girl I went to school with.
Yeah,
and her life's crazy. Like she is a wreck. Right? She's always on there every maybe three times a week. She's like, "Oh, my bloody boyfriend went out. Haven't seen him in 4 days," and I'm like glued to it because it's great. It's like television.
Yeah,
you know, I'm like, what's happening with the boyfriend situation, right? And I don't comment on anything. She'll put up statuses like, ugh, had enough today. And I'm like, that you can't do that. Like, tell me what's happening.
Yeah. But that's when she wants you to DM her,
26
right?
comments, right? Like, oh, just DM'd your babe. Hope you're having a good one. Like, all of these things. And I don't get any details. But I love it so much that her birthday was like 3 weeks ago.
Yep.
Haven't spoken to her since we went to school. And I'm like, you know, I won't use her name, but like, oh, g'day, hope you're having a good one. Happy birthday. Because I didn't want to delete her because I was enjoying it too much. So I think my nice thing is probably, I'm still getting greedy with it and I'm still a human being. So,
yeah.
What do you do?
You could PM her and ask her about it.
Hey, just saw your status. yeah, that is, he is
ask girls do that stuff.
Do they?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
But do you want to know? Or do you want to know the goss or do you want to comfort the person?
I don't like gossip. So I would rather be there to help someone I'm very empathetic. So I can't help myself. If someone's hurting, I'm like, I'm here for you if you need to talk. Yeah.
I think a lot of that, like social media is great. Like, don't get me wrong, it's awesome. And I love I love memes and I like, you know, there's some people that I really, really enjoy, but I don't talk to them besides tagging someone and being like, hey, this is you. And that's like really great. You can do that for years and you see someone and it's amazing and it's like a really informal way to keep up with the people that are on the fringe of your friends. But like, geez, it can be abused. Like,
yes.
I mean, sometimes like... I feel like I'm judging everyone right now. Am I?
I don't know, are you?
I think I am. but to put out this and be like, oh, I've had enough of today, and then like, do people just use that to go, all right, I'm probably like, I just want some attention.
Maybe.
And I know this is how I'll get it.
But maybe they can't get attention elsewhere. Like if a boyfriend's gone missing for 4 days, you kind of need that support, right?
Every week I'm tuned in.
Is he married?
I've got notifications on. he's potentially has a second life.
I think so.
Which is, by the way, like those people that have second lives. Mm-hmm. You know, those people that just have other families in other places.
Yeah.
What the hell?
Like, how do they do it?
It's hard to have one family.
Oh, yeah. It's
hard.
Why
are you doing that? Why are you fitting in the time? That's insane. I'm obsessed by that idea.
Oh, please don't do it.
No, I don't want to. I'm not. Look, by the way, I'm not in the market for a second family, so everyone relax. I've got a mother, I've got a brother, and they are nightmares. And I'm not in the market to have, therefore, like multiple wife. Like, what? Why?
I don't know. I think one partner is enough, right?
Surely.
Yeah.
Like, call me old fashioned.
No, I think it's a lot of work to maintain a healthy relationship. And
but how do they get away with it?
I don't know.
Like, surely that, because you've got two partners.
Yeah.
Which is double the amount of investigative sort of like potential. So is one of them
I've
going
to have some theories.
Do you reckon?
Yeah. Like, imagine if you're in bed, right? Mm-hmm. And you're this person that has multiple, you cannot say their name ever. Because you might say the wrong person's name.
I can't even, like, I get the dog's name wrong. Like, my mum goes, she will call me all of my brothers, all of my sisters.
I do that. It's a mum thing.
Dog, cat, someone she works with.
My brother. And I do it to my children all the time.
I just put the clock on. I'm going, we'll get there eventually. You know, I'm the son. Remember, you grew me. Short, like, how hard is it to remember my name?
My kids say the same thing to me, but I'm loving your mum right now. I think it's a mum thing.
Is it a mum thing?
Yeah.
Is it because you just got so much going on?
Yeah, maybe.
I love your family, by the way. I follow, speaking, going back to Facebook and social media, I actually sent this message to you the other day. I'm like, because you always do like lives. Yeah. And like, you just kind of have the great time. Is it actually good, or are you just like, behave yourself because we want to put up a nice
no,
place?
No, just randomly. Mental? Like, are you talking about the Jenga one?
Everything. Every time I see you guys, you're just having a ball.
I love my kids insanely. So the other, you know, the last weekend, I think it was, we did a Jenga video and I had no scope that it was going to end up going for 6 minutes, which is how long for a video.
I watched a lot of it. I was tuned in.
I lost, okay. But it was, I don't know, we have a lot of fun together and it's really nice to be present and just laugh. And I've got a relationship with my kids where we can really pull the piss out of each other.
How old's the oldest?
15.
Okay, so, and then the youngest?
9.
So, soon you're going to have multiple teenagers.
Yeah.
How's that make you feel?
Scared.
Is it? What were you like as a teenager?
Oh, yeah, that was, I pity my parents.
Feral?
Yeah.
Yeah. I can see that.
Yeah, thanks.
Because you're so lovely now. I think that there
must
have
always
been
an all right person.
Nah, I reckon there was a 3-year block where you just, went, oh, it's all
Rory,
out now.
That's generous.
Like my sister was the biggest handful, and now she's turned out to be lovely. Because that's my theory. I'm like, if you're lovely now, for when you're a teenager, you were a nightmare.
Yeah,
and you got it all out of your system.
I think so, and I think for me, I was always a tomboy, so hung around with a lot of boys, just mucked around with them, and then. But I acknowledge that I don't have any scope on what it was like for an actual teenage boy, and that has thrown me, you know, that big testosterone surge you guys go through.
Yeah.
That being a mum on the other side rather than a peer, wow, that's insane.
We're so confused.
Is it a confusing time?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's confusing. I think, obviously you have to deal not only with your body changing, but, like, I guess it's a real sort of emergence of ego.
Okay.
As well, or like it becomes real, it becomes different. You know, I think there must be something in us, and I think a lot about philosophy and evolution and all that sort of stuff. But there must have been a time 10,000, 15,000 years ago when you grew up and you're essentially a man at 14, and you're like, well, what's my role within this, you know, small group
in this village? Yeah,
yeah, yeah. Like, yeah. Am I gonna I want to take this over. Like, I want to rule it. I want to be a big dog, you know. And it's like boys, and I do think boys have it extremely and much easier than girls, hands down. I'm not going to sit here and be like, no, it's tough for us because we, you know, yeah, pubic hair. Like, it's not, that's not what's going to happen. But it's like, there's, like, I remember being young and, like, I was just happy. Like, I was just like, I'll read a book, and I was like, yeah, wow, like, it was fun. And then, like, when you grow up as well, like, you start caring about what, and you go through that, you care about what everyone thinks.
Mm.
You know, like, I stopped doing lots of things I enjoyed because I wanted to be cool. Then I became cool. Like, I was really, really, I went from, like, nerdy to extremely cool in, like, 2 years at school. And then I was, like, kind of like the king of the castle. Yeah. But, like, looking back on it, I was like, oh, like, yeah, it was fun. And, like, but I status really mattered to me, if yeah. that made sense.
Yeah.
And, like, as you get older, you don't really care about that anymore.
Yeah.
Says the man doing stand-up comedy. but, yeah, it's like your body, like, things become important, you know. Like, I'd like, and you, it must be hard as a parent watching your kids kind of slowly break up with you.
Yeah, that's kind of what happened with my oldest last year. So he went through, I've always been super close to my oldest child mm. and close to all of them, but he's always been gentle and soft and really caring. And all of a sudden he became angry. And then, I don't know, he's
just at the world.
Oh, at me mainly.
Sure.
And that was hard for me. And I personalized it, and it really hurt everything that was going on. And but it only took a couple of months for him to go through it, thankfully. And then when he came through, he was actually really nice, and he's back to himself.
Wow.
So,
'cause I mean, we all do that. Is that horrible? Like, isn't that horrible?
Mm.
It must hurt. Like, it must hurt, wouldn't it? Because you've, I mean, not only did you grow him from one cell to where you fed him, like, literally carried him and vomited because what he was doing to you was so excruciating. Raise him, pay for things, work hard, like, not sleep in, and then all of a sudden it's like, oh, you're like this, and it's like, shut up, bro. Like, you don't know. Like, but you can't tell a teenager that, can you?
No, you
like,
can't.
They don't care.
No. Yeah. And that's okay. It's, yeah. It's a bit scary because I've got two more boys to go through that now. And I don't know where that's going to, where they'll sit on that. But
I'm having a really wonderful time with my mother, especially at the moment, where I've been, I feel like I was the youngest boy, so mother and I, my mum and I were really tight. Same thing. I became kind of cool and really, like, grew into my independence. And when that happens, you know, you make a lot of mistakes and you're just nasty sometimes. Like, you're a bit of a shithead, right? and then I've gone off and I've lived away from home, and now, like, I'm the age now that my mum was when I was essentially kind of like 12.
Oh,
so
wow.
So those sort of like really great times of, you know, before puberty where you look up to your mum. You know, when you just go shopping with your mum, and
yeah.
My mum was always in like spotlight.
Yeah. What did she get in spotlight?
What didn't she get in spotlight? Like, she was just looking through like books of fabric, you
oh,
know,
wow.
And like, touch this one. And I remember that was a really nice time until I grew out of that. And now I'm at an age again where I'm really kind of bonding with my mother.
Oh, that's lovely.
At like a higher level.
Yeah.
You know, like, she, her and my dad kind of like split up, and I've had relationship problems, and now like we can relate to that on a higher level mm. and kind of, it's almost like wisdom.
Yeah.
And yeah, it's just really strange. Like, I'm really enjoying it. It's nice to like
that's
sit
lovely.
Down with you with a mother yeah. and have a glass of wine.
Yeah.
And then have too many. And then kind of laugh. Sometimes you forget that your parents were cool.
They've gone through that stuff,
yeah,
haven't they?
My
yeah.
mum was wild. I saw photos of her and my dad when they were 18, both had mullets.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, and they were standing next to a like a speedboat. I'm like, what are you doing there? They're like, yeah, that's the boat we owned. I'm like,
this
yeah.
in the 80s or?
Oh, like, yeah, it would have been, yeah. I was born in 87.
Yeah.
And my brother was like 82. So they would be like late 70s. They were high school sweethearts.
Oh.
Mullets, short shorts. And I'm like, you used to get into my sister for leaving the house. And like, I'm looking at these photos and you are wearing far less than she ever did, you know? So yeah, it's a wonderful time growing up and having that different experience with your parents. I think it's something I'm really cherishing at the moment. I think, not to sound too like morbid, but you know, they're getting older.
Yeah.
As well. Like, they've still got it. I mean, they're only 60, but you know, I know in 30 years that's going to be quite different, right?
Yeah, maybe. How old were you when your parents split up?
Four, so.
Oh, you're a baby.
Didn't get it. I don't remember it at all, so.
It's similar to my youngest. He was only two, but so.
It's super. I mean, it's so common, right?
Yeah, it is. And I think. Isn't it? Yeah. And I think if you can get to a space, like I'm very lucky with my ex, we do parent really well together. And I think for my boys, you know, that's really important to have their dad in. Very involved and very present.
It has to be, yeah. I mean, it has to be.
Yeah.
Surely. What a lovely chat. We haven't even got to, behind the curtain, there's like a list of questions that we've like pre-planned and then we've just turned the mics on and just been like, well, what about life? And then
life's good.
That's why I like talking to you because we never stay on script.
I know. It's good. It's, yeah, he... Deep conversation, not, you know, surface stuff. Jared, tell me a bit about your comedy journey.
Well, I'm probably sitting at the I'll be doing comedy for 5 years in September. So relatively new. I've achieved a lot in that time.
You sure have, yeah.
Which is great. I mean, not to sound – I mean, one of my big skills is I've got a large work ethic. I'm trying to find the next challenge everywhere. And for me, that's always been going interstate and dealing with the intimidation. I think comedy is very intimidating. And not the act of it. I mean, that is quite intimidating, but just being in other people's scenes, dealing with like rejection for getting and doing gigs and getting on shows. And I've always tried to inject that into me. It makes me a better comedian. I think it will pay its dividends when I'm at the 10-year mark.
You're actually really good at going into other people's spaces, but you're saying what sort of rejection are you talking about?
Oh, like you, I might, you know, I'm capable of doing a certain amount of gigs in a city, like my home city of Melbourne. I can do, you know, I can get paid for comedy and doing that sort of stuff. But, you know, when you go to a new city... that's not the case, and people don't know who you are, and they have to take you at face value. And the first time I came to Perth, I went to a really good gig and messaged the guy, and he's like, "I've never heard of you. Like, I don't know who you are. Do you have anyone I'd know?" And I was like, "Oh, like that hurts, you know. Like, you gotta. It's extremely daunting. And then you go, oh, well, cool. Like, I wanna do well." And that's never guaranteed in comedy.
No.
At all. Okay, so I've talked my way into this gig. Someone they know has said, give him a go, he's all right. And then you go, okay, cool, now you got to do the gig. And you're like, geez, I hope it's not that 1 in 10 times that where I just absolutely die in the heart. And they're, we'll see you next time. Like, make sure you let us know when you're in town. Like, it's super confronting.
That's pretty polite, but if you've bombed...
Oh, so it's just like I get such into it. It is very. So it's in that time I've tried to do as much as that because I know it makes my skin thicker, and you need that in comedy.
Yeah, definitely. I'm gonna turn here. Sorry, I'm really excited. I think you've met one of my old school friends, Adam Sparnan.
Yeah. I know Adam Sparnan really well. Yep. I wouldn't say really well, but like he's just started doing comedy, I'm going to say 3-4 months ago.
Yeah, he did. And I'm so excited. Shout out to you, Adam.
Yeah, getting on. And he's doing great things.
Yeah.
It always frustrates me when I see someone who's naturally talented. Because I started comedy and from 0 months to 12 months, like I wasn't that good. I was like 50-50.
Yeah.
I couldn't quite figure out what made me good.
Yeah, okay.
I was just kind of like flip the coin and like I was either on or I wasn't. And then it all fell into place. Like I just thought I was funny.
Yeah.
And the audience sometimes didn't agree with that. But so the comedy journey is like, I mean, it's going well. I want to keep working. I mean, I unashamedly tell everyone I meet, like, I want to do this, you know, I want to do this all the time and I want to do this until I'm old.
That's pretty awesome.
Yeah. And I want to like, I want to be 70 and still doing this.
Yeah.
And
you can. That's the beauty of comedy.
Be. And then there'll be young people coming up then being like, oh, he's a has-been. Like, I can't wait to be a has-been.
Has-been.
You know what I mean? Like, I just love it so much. It brings me so much joy.
Mm.
It's never boring.
No, it's never boring.
You can't perfect it. You're incapable of perfecting it. As soon as you think you're good, like, it'll remind you that you're not. Like, I just couldn't ever think of a time when I say to myself, I'm like, oh, I've just got another gig tonight. I'm just going to roll out and do it. Mm. Like, I feel so blessed that I found comedy. It solved everything in my life that I've ever needed.
How did you find it then?
Randomly. I guess, you know, when you sometimes, when you're in the car and you listen to music and you're like, oh, I wish I could sing well, or I wish I could play the guitar so I could like impress my workmates at a party. Like, you can just daydream about things. Like, I always thought comedy was that for me. I used to watch comedy. I enjoyed it. I was always very funny. But like, you learn in comedy, like being the funniest of your friends and then being funny on stage is, wow, that's two different skills.
Yeah.
And, you know, every comedian that's done less than 50 gigs experiences that at one stage. Like, yeah, I'm hilarious. I'm just going to be a natural. Boom. Doesn't. and then randomly in Melbourne, there was a pub that was near where I worked. And on Tuesday nights, I had open mic night and I was working as a chef. So Tuesdays, I had a half day and that was my weekend. So I'd always go down with my mates on a Tuesday and we would drink beers and it was like our Friday night. And it was around the corner and it was this thing where there was a piece of paper and people would go and write their names down. And it was like a real open mic. There was 20 spots on offer. And if you get in there, you got on. Like, it didn't matter what you wanted to do. And like, it was half the spectacle was watching people bomb.
Yeah.
I was a pure spectator. We're like, let's go watch this. And we would laugh our asses off when somebody was up there just talking crazy. Like, this is one of those open mics where you could do whatever you wanted. As long as you kept to your time, there was a bell, there was a light. Like, they're like, you can do your time. There's no rules.
Yeah.
But you just got to get off when the time comes. And I used to watch that. And I guess it was the lowest of the low skill-wise for comedy. But I just thought this was like the coolest thing I'd ever seen. Like, these people were going up and saying what they thought. Like, it's amazing, you know. Like, it's just so – oh, sorry, we had a mishap. I hit my foot on the microphone. yeah, it was so crazy. It was amazing. And I watched it, and every single time someone went on, I went, I'm so much better than that. Yeah. I was like, I am so much better than that. And then it took me about 4 weeks when I said, no, I'm going to do it. And I signed my name up, and I had 3 to 4 beers because I was sick with nerves. Like, I was nervous for 3 days prior to that.
Oh, wow. That's
and all my friends from work came, so I couldn't, like, chicken out of it.
Yeah.
And then I went up on the stage and I bombed.
Oh, yeah.
Horrendously.
Yeah.
And, like, to everyone I knew in my close circle. And then I had to work with them for a week, so I bombed for a week. For a week straight. They were like, oh, yeah, like, you did the thing and it didn't go that well. Ha, ha, ha.
Joe, what happened in that 3 days for you? Because I could not sleep for 4 days, my first gig, and I've only ever done it a few times, but I bombed bad the first time too.
It's just, as in the 3 days before or the 3 days after?
Oh, the 3 days before.
Because they're two different emotions.
Yeah, they are.
it's fear.
Mm.
I think at its raw emotion, I think it's complete and utter being terrified.
Yeah.
And you go from being inspired by your own bravery to then having thoughts of going, what am I doing? This is not really an industry, or like, it's just a weird hobby.
Yeah.
To then going like, no, I'm going to do it. And then you have these little, like, you know, visualizations of you just killing and crushing and, you know, it's going to be
the
amazing.
The grandeur.
Yeah, like, you need that.
See, I didn't have that.
And then it goes down again and then it goes up again. And, like, you can't tell me that's not living. Like, that's way better than working in an office, isn't it? It's like feeling that, like, terror because you're going to go on stage for 4 minutes and discuss something you thought of. So then after the bomb, though, then the other side of the coin, oh, I was just so embarrassed. I was just embarrassed. Yeah. I thought I was good.
Yeah.
And I wasn't, and it hurt. And bombing is like getting broken up with your high school girlfriend.
Yeah, or boyfriend. That's a good analogy.
It's like everyone knows it happened. People are trying to tell you it'll be okay.
Yeah.
And in that very moment and for the time afterwards, you're just sad.
What made you get back up again?
Well, it was more like determination at first. I mean, I didn't go from that to be like, no, I'm going to be a professional comedian. The next step was just like, I can do this. So I signed up the next week and I bombed again. And right now I'm like, this is bad. You know, like my life is not going the way I want it to. No one came this time. I said, oh, no, I just went there by myself. And then on the third week, I said to myself, I said, if I don't do well today, then I've done it.
Yeah.
I said, I'm gonna just try and do something else. I'm just going to find some form of purpose. And the third time it worked.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And yeah. I thought I'd made it. Like, I was so happy. Like, I got laughs, and other comedians spoke to me.
Yeah.
And they were like, hey, that was really good.
Oh, that's nice. Yeah.
And that's what I loved.
Yeah.
You know, like, I love comedians way more than comedy.
Yeah.
Comedians are crazy.
Oh, they're great.
Are they? Fun.
They are. I just
I salivated them. I'm just like, yes, like, what is happening? Like, you, we're all so mental. So then, yeah, then it was off. Like, I just, you know, you talk to comedians afterwards and they're like, I like that bit you did. And you're like, what's a bit? And they're like, oh, that's like jokes. You go, oh, yeah. Oh, so you write them down. They're like, yeah. I was like, oh, man, that's where I've been going wrong. I've just, because I didn't know there was material.
Yeah.
I didn't know you worked on material and got the good. I was so blind in it. I didn't even know how I succeeded at all. And then without a word of a lie, I've been thoroughly hooked since that day. I don't think anything comes close to it. I think in life you're either living in the past or you're living in the future, and very rarely can you be in the moment. It takes literal breathing activities to try and achieve it, and comedy is one of those exceptions where you have to be in the moment.
Yeah.
There's no other alternative.
Yeah, like you have to be very present.
And it's great. It's still.
Yeah.
You know, when you'd have a good gig and like, oh, don't get me wrong, like making love's great and doing drugs is wicked, but nothing comes close to just having a good gig. If you do like a nice one, tell you like 15 minutes of being in the moment. Like, man, monks search for that stuff in hills.
Yeah.
And it's just like you're thinking, like you something's coming out of your mouth, but you're also going, oh, what should I do next? You know, like you got like two brains going on, and then it's beautiful. It's just stunning.
Yeah.
It's just so, so wonderful, and I'm blessed every time I get to do it. I hope I can outlast the attrition that is involved to actually make something of it, because it gets comics.
Yeah.
They just don't last. Like, it's just because it's so hard. It's so difficult.
Do you think it's so hard? Well, it is hard. It's a hard place to step into. But also, you know, I think people have changes in their lives as well. So they might have just ran that, you know, process and gone, okay, I'm moving on from this now.
Absolutely. I bumped into a friend of mine. He did comedy, and he did comedy well. For years when I started, I guess he was doing okay. And then I saw him, and he hadn't done comedy in 2 years. And I said, what happened? I said, like, you were good. Like, you were real good at it. And he's like, didn't like it anymore. He's like, I kept doing it because I felt I needed to. And I felt the same thing that I like in the comics and the, like, I felt pressure to keep doing it. And I didn't enjoy it for months before I finally said, no, I'm going to do something else. I want to play the guitar. Mm-hmm. And he said, now I play the guitar to no one in my room for a couple of hours a night. And I fail at that and I get better. And it just gives me the same feeling without all the...
Oh, okay.
And it's like, oh, okay. Like, so people, I think people, I see this with young guys as well. They start, especially guys, they start at 18 and they get, you know, comedies can be very exciting behind the scenes. And to be in that at 18, I was like, I don't know how that even works. And then they mature.
Mm.
And I was like, yeah, like I was doing heaps of stuff at 18 that I gave up at 22.
Yeah, true.
You got to move on, right?
Yeah.
And just like not to be jaded about it and enjoy it and be like, yeah, I did that. Like that's cool as, you know. Like I used to ride a skateboard when I was a teenager. Can't do it now. But I still did it and I like it. I think about it every now and then. I'm like, oh, I could.
Probably could.
I couldn't.
Maybe pad yourself up.
Yeah, but then I'm that old guy with a skateboard with pads on. Right? Like, I don't want to be that guy. We used to tease that guy when I was a kid. This loser.
Oh, it's all good. Hey, what's your creative process like then?
Ooh. Varied, but like it's discipline based. So I've been doing this amazing thing lately. A friend of mine got me onto it, and it's The Artist's Way. You've heard of, have you heard of The Artist's Way? It's a book. Anyway, the whole crux of it is every morning before you do anything, before you've kind of really woken up, write 3 pages of continuous writing that is just thought.
Okay.
And that might be, I can't think of anything, like just whatever goes on.
Mm-hmm.
And then after that, like it takes about 35 minutes. And you got to do it every day, 6 days a week. And then after that, do your writing and do whatever, like just start your day. And it's so, you're not allowed to look back on it. You're not allowed to show anyone. It's not for anyone.
Yeah.
It's not for any purpose. Don't write it like you're going to, like, it's going to be found in the future. Like, and they're going to be like, oh, this is what they did in the 21st century. like, it's just rip it up, burn it if you need to. It's just for your brain, and the stuff that comes out there, I mean, I haven't read back on it, but I catch myself every now and then when you're doing it, and you just start talking to yourself,
yeah,
and you start being really honest, like brutally honest about things that you know when you meditate, do you meditate much?
Yeah, I love meditation.
And you know those thoughts that come into you just randomly, like when you're like, breathe in, breathe out, you're like, I got to pay the power bill. Like, but it's a very similar process, but you're like, well, I got to pay the power bill, because if I don't pay the power bill, then it's going to stack up and I don't want things on the fridge. And you're just writing that and it's just coming out. And by the end of it, you can't stop until you get 3 pages. So you get kind of like 3/4 of the way through, and you're like, and you can see the end of the page. And you're like, oh, I just got to keep writing about stuff, handwriting too. You're not allowed to type.
Oh, yeah.
Which is, it hurts.
Like, can you print or you've got to handwrite?
You can do whatever you want. Okay. Like it doesn't have to be running writing. Mine goes from printing to like kind of scribbly to,
yeah,
like it's atrocious.
I'm going to give this a go.
It's really amazing. The Artist's Way is the lady who created it is hugely famous for this. And it's called morning pages, morning pages. But so I do, I'm a morning person.
Mm.
So I need to, it used to keep me up at night that I wasn't doing enough work and trying to figure things out. So I decided to flip my life around and just put my alarm on and get up a little bit earlier.
I love that you're saying a little bit earlier. I'm a night person. So do you want to share your little bit earlier with everyone?
Well, it varies on what I'm doing, but I want to be up and I want to be at the table for 5:30.
Okay. 5:30 is doable.
Yeah. And yeah. I like to have a shower beforehand, have a coffee. And now I'm doing my morning pages. It takes up more time. But I want to be sitting down and I want to do it. I'd want to do 1 hour of work. Yeah. I want to do 1 hour of, and comedy writing is more like a puzzle than a flow. Like I wrote a novel, and that was like, oh, if you can get into a flow, that's a good day. You know, if you want to do 1,200 words, like you've had a win. But comedy writing is more like, I might do 80 words, but it's more of like a Rubik's cube.
Okay.
You know, you're like, yeah, I've got this idea and I want to make it work. So you need to be super focused, because it's full of a lot of failure. just by definition of puzzle.
Yeah.
It, you know, you're like, I want to have a joke about bottled water. And you're like, I got to attack it from, you know, angles. You know, like, what is the water? Why is it in the bottle? Like, and then you, so you need to write a lot of garbage.
Yeah.
And I'm not naturally quite good at comedy, but I can outwork most people. So I discovered quite early that everything I write, only probably 6% of it's any good. So to meet the goals that I expect and want to do of myself, that 100% needs to be massive, because I know the 6% is there,
yeah,
but it's just behind, you know, 94% of toilet writing. So I need to. So I try and do a lot. I try and sit down in the morning. If I do an hour, then I've done it.
Yeah,
do you know what, I'm doing it, and then I go okay, and then I've got a whole day of what needs to be done, and I think with where the ideas come from of the creative process, that's the discipline angle. But I think like creativity is like a tap that leaks, as opposed to turn it on and off.
Mm.
I think a lot of people will say like, well, on Sunday I'm going to sit down and I'm going to do a whole lot of stuff. You're like, yeah, well, Sunday's going to come around and there's going to be nothing's going to be there. Like, it's just like, where do they come from? Like,
yeah.
Like, I think they're ancient. I don't know if this is correct, but I think like ancient Romans or Greeks used to call the word genius used to mean like a goblin that lived in your walls. And he'd drop ideas at you. Like, they thought it was like this, like a muse, like a thing that was like, you didn't know where the next idea was coming from.
Yeah.
Creativity is like there. So I don't think you can turn it on and off. It's like a tap that leaks. So I got to find a bucket.
Yeah.
Because like I want to create like those ideas. So it's just everywhere I go, I need to have my things on me. Like I need to be ready to write a book at any time. Like if I don't carry around the materials to write a book.
Yeah, you lose it, don't you?
I'm like, well, what's going to happen if I get a good idea? Like I need to go. And, you know, like phone, audio notes, like whatever I need to do to capture. Because I'll be with my mom, or I'll be with my friends, or I'll be, you know, working somewhere, and then something great will happen then. And I go, oh. And then I need to capture that there. That's my bucket.
Yeah.
Because then I can go in the morning and I can go, all right, cool, it's right time. What have I been thinking of? Or what happened throughout the last 24 hours? I go, one, two, three things. I go, three things now. So it gives me focus.
And you can expand on that.
That's right, yeah, cool. Because otherwise I would have forgotten what happened.
Yeah.
Because life's too busy. So capture it and then literally create the time to nurture it. I think that's
really good advice, actually.
That's my creative approach.
Yeah.
And it, I mean, it works a lot of the time, and then a lot of the time it just doesn't. Yeah. So an hour a day, if you never know when you are behind a blockage as well. Sometimes you need to have 3 hours of blockages to get, you know, the next great idea. And if you only write, there's a really good saying, actually. It's about sort of like, it's like passive creativity and like active creativity.
Okay.
They're like the painter that only paints when they want to paint and they're inspired might make 2 paintings a year and they will be great.
Yeah.
The painter that sits down and paints every day will make 200 paintings and 6 of them they'll like. So it's like, well, you've automatically got 3 times as many masterpieces, right?
True.
But you've just had to have a lot that you didn't like.
Yeah.
And sometimes the blockage, like where's the blockage? Like what? Do I need to do an hour in the morning and nothing happens? Well, now I'm 1 hour closer to the next breakthrough.
Yeah.
It's like it's there.
Jared, is it different for guys? I'm thinking for female here. Like we, you know, obviously go through different cycles and stuff. Do you guys go through different emotional cycles? Because that can impact my confidence. That can impact anything really.
I think men do. I think we have menstruation.
Menstruation.
Like,
how do you manage that?
the key is to figure out what the hell it is first, and you're not just in a shit mood. Because you know? We just men are way more emotional than women.
Do you think?
Oh yeah. But we just hide it and project it and as all these other things. Like, don't we? Like, we're...
I don't know. I'm not a guy.
So. Oh, we are a messed up bunch.
And us girls talk, so maybe that's when we debriefing
don't.
That's
is the,
good.
That's the problem, right?
Yeah.
I mean, that's the whole entire message.
Yeah.
But we just, you know, we either want to do nothing or lots. I feel like men don't have that middle ground. They're like, all right, we're going to be doing everything at once, or like I want to sit on a couch and scroll through my phone.
Oh, yeah, okay.
You know what I mean?
I'm like scrunching up my nose because, yeah, the right, sitting at home and...
Feral.
Yeah.
But I think 2 days a month I'll be miserable.
Mm. Okay.
And I think like I always when I catch it, like I'm tired of working all day on something I really care about.
Mm.
And getting not as much as I wanted back.
Yeah.
And you go, oh, and you have this thing where you go, well, what am I doing it for? Like, what is possibly all this effort for? Yep. You know, it's not financial, that's for sure.
No. What do you do when you go into that self-doubt sort of?
You have to, I have to remember why I do it. And it comes back to the same thing what I spoke about before is, it, you know, there's nothing like it, you know, and... Like the I can't live without it, essentially, which makes me sad, because it's like I wish I was passionate about being a plumber. Like I would have been the best plumber, you know. I would have a whole plumbing business. I would have made money. I'll go to holidays every year to wherever I want all the time. I would have killed it. I would have absolutely crushed it. I would have rounded up every other plumber and said, "This is how we do it, guys. I've figured it out." But I just And sometimes I go, why was it arts?
Mm.
Why did it have to be something so crushing and so difficult to – and something that no one can understand? You know, people – like my brother is super successful, runs like a big company. And I'm like, yeah, like I just want to like create. And he's like, yeah, but you got to like get like an investment property because like and all these. I'm like, that doesn't interest me. I'm not in – that doesn't impress me. I'm not interested in that. And it's difficult to have conversations and it gets me down because I'm like, why was it this? Why couldn't it have been accounting? Why couldn't it have been a lawyer? That's a fun job. I've seen it on the telly. It looks great. You know, why did I have to pick this? Why did it pick me? I signed a sentence, a life sentence, to be on an emotional roller coaster, to be financially horrible, you know, just trying to get it done. And also, you know, it's so important to me. Like, where does that leave everyone else that wants a part of me?
Yeah.
And it's hard, you know, like geez, you want to be happy sometimes, don't you?
And you're pretty happy. Come
on. I'm so happy. I'm happy because I'm doing what I like. But it's like, but with it comes all of these things.
Yeah.
And it is 2 days a month, it gets me. Gets me hard.
It is a tough gig. The arts industry is a very, very tough gig. And we definitely need people, the public, to support that. And actually, speaking of that, next Wednesday, when we have you on as MC at the Charles Hotel, that's actually Pay It Forward Day.
What does that mean?
Well, you what do something. Pay It Forward.
For everyone in society.
Yeah, maybe everyone could pay it forward and come along and support the arts.
They should. Because it's open mic too, like what we were talking about before. Like people can just try out whatever they want.
Right? They can.
To an extent, hopefully. Because I'll be hosting it. So if I've got to come on after someone's just been like, yeah, wow, China. I'm like, oh, no.
I do have some rules, but in our room. So
what's your rules?
Ooh, okay. No rape. No rape jokes. Bad form.
They're not funny.
No, not funny. Absolutely not okay to joke about that sort of stuff. No pedophilic jokes. It's not cool as well.
Yep.
So, you know, it might have been cool in school when you're a little kid joking around that shit. Sorry, I shouldn't swear, but...
She's off now.
Off on a tangent, no. They're probably my big no's. And I'm pretty, I'm very firm with those actually.
When you're an up-and-coming comedian, you don't have the skills to deal with those subjects. You know, it's a sliding scale. And don't get me wrong, I've seen plenty of great comedy on both of those subjects, especially the first one from women, you know, but they have a certain mandate that, that men don't. And really got a cutting-edge comedy that makes you think, but that takes a long time.
It does. I agree with you there. And,
It's yeah, to do it well is a difficult thing. It's certainly something I don't do, mainly because I'm terrified of doing it wrong. You're terrified of when you're trying to do something, you only get you're just so judged and perceived on it, right?
Like, yeah.
I remember those the first couple of years I've done heaps of jokes where people have gone, I don't really like what you did there, and you go, oh, why was it because of this? And they go, no, it was because of this. You go, oh, I didn't want it to go that way. Like I didn't want you to think that way. Look, I'm so sorry. And you just it's hard to get right sometimes. So having those rules in place is good. You're like, look, you can do that somewhere, but that somewhere's not here.
Oh, I've actually there's one more as well. No racist stuff. That's not okay.
Just don't do it. Right?
Yeah, just don't do it. Yeah.
Yeah.
You have to rely on that sort of those contents in the beginning. Rewrite, rethink.
just do something else. Try write some jokes.
Yeah. Yeah. Bring it to a higher level. Right. Yeah. Pick on yourself.
When all else fails, pick on yourself.
Yeah. It's safe.
Yeah. And it's personal. No one can steal it. Right?
Yeah. Yeah, true. Yeah, next week. So next week we've got you up. We've actually got two of the Class Clowns, WA.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, How old are they? Both 17. So John actually went to Melbourne Comedy Festival.
Those kids. 17. They got their whole lives ahead of them.
I know.
I started at 29.
Did you?
And I'm like,
wow.
Imagine if I started when I was 17. Where would I be? But
you don't know, but like you said, they might ride that wave out and just don't know. Yeah. Sorry,
I'm looking forward to that then. That's going to be awesome.
Oh, it's going to be awesome. Yeah.
Have you seen them before?
Oh, yeah, because we ran Class Clowns in WA.
Nice.
Yeah. So it was really exciting to see that process, and two of my boys were in that as well.
How'd they go?
Oh, I'm their mom. Of course they did good.
How does that feel? I had a really good conversation with quite famous comedian whose daughter does comedy now. And he said something really funny that I always like. And I was like, how is that to watch your child? He goes, it is the worst thing in the world to watch your child bomb. He goes, because you want to go up there and you want to protect them, but then you know also know that they need it. And I did it, so they can do it. You know, like back in my day, I bombed, so you could bomb too. But deep down, it hurts. But then there's also this like incredible pride of being like, I know how difficult that what you're doing is, and you know, you when it works, there's like
it's a really good way of building resilience, isn't it?
How'd that conversation go down when is your son?
Yep. Two sons, two of my boys went in it.
So they just came up to you and said, yeah, I'll do it.
Well, I actually asked them. I said, look, we're running this. Would you be interested in doing it? No pressure.
First thought, what was like, do you just wanted to give them that opportunity?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just ask them because we're running it at the Kalamunda Hotel and yeah, and they both went, yeah, we'll do it. And that was great.
How'd they go?
They were good. Yeah. My oldest did it on Greek mythology. So that was
I've never seen a set on Greek mythology.
It was really interesting.
Yeah.
And I think one of the funniest processes in the thing was I kept trying to encourage them to write their sets out.
Yeah, yeah.
And my oldest was like, Mum, I've got this. And I'm like, okay.
All right.
I'm trying not to get anxious here.
Plenty of comedians before you have gone down this road, mate. And you should write it out.
But he didn't have to. And he delivered it. I know. But he does know the content really well. So, and it was basically pulling the piss out of the stories and how bad the Greek gods were and – yeah, so we delivered.
It's a really interesting subject matter for a set of comedy.
Yeah, I mean, it was good. And he said he could have got a little bit more, but then he was a bit worried about some of the content as well. So
I mean, that's good that he's mindful of that.
Yeah, yeah. And then on my middle son, he went into it And I actually got him to draw pictures because he's better with that, and that were his visual prompts. So, yeah, he did really well.
Did he use them on stage, or he just used some of it as a set list, right?
Yeah. Yeah, and then he drew some pictures as well, and that was great. So
hilarious. You're just on the sidelines, just...
Well, I was there, and I had to try to take a bit of a step back, and if, yeah, I was kind of in back in stage management sort of mode and not, yeah, if they needed me, I could step in and help them, and but I wanted to give, you know, them the space with Tor because she was a facilitator.
Great.
Yeah, to have awesome that good too. Experience, yeah.
Any prospect they after the fact, do they want to do it again one time? Or
they want to do it next year, yeah. Okay. Both of them, they loved it.
Oh, no. I feel sorry for you. You're going to have comedians as children.
It's great.
Your Christmases are going to be hilarious.
Our home's hilarious, but we have a great time. Oh, the banter in our home is really good. So.
That's great.
I think I was dropping Lars off to school. That's the middle one today. And he was laughing so hard. He got the hiccups. And that's been the last 3 days.
Hey, you know you're having a good laugh when you've got the hiccups. Yeah. Your body's trying to reset.
Jared, are you able to share a joke with us?
Am I going to share a joke with you? Yes. I think I'm going to try and go back to... We were talking about how we first started.
Yeah.
And... And I'm going to share a joke with you from my set that bombed.
Okay.
Because I could come on here and, I mean, I feel like I've done great things in comedy now.
Yeah,
and
you
I
have.
Could come on here and do a joke that works. Well, here's one that doesn't.
Okay.
this is my entire set. So, not the entire set, but I did a joke and it, the premise was, I'm so embarrassed. Can you see me?
You're red.
I feel like I'm a pretty cool guy, but not right now. The joke was, and I thought I'd have this big callback at the end, that every man, and I've done a survey and this is a true thing, and every man will get out of the shower and they will put their penis between their legs just to see what it looks like, right? And... since the bombing, I've done a survey and everyone's like, yeah, that's correct. And then I did a big joke at the end, and the joke was so people it's fine. People find me hard to date because they're like, oh, so what does he do? And they're like, a girl's like, oh, he's a comedian, and they go, oh, does he get paid? And they're like, no. And then he goes, oh, that's like a hobby. So what does he do? And they're like, oh, so many great things. Like what? They're like, oh, he can put his penis between his legs. And that was the joke. And it got nothing. And that was one of my jokes.
Had you seen puppetry at that stage?
I loved puppetry growing up. My friend Kyle and I used to do it.
I mean puppetry of the penis, but yeah, that one. Yeah,
yeah, yeah. We used to do it. We used to do it at school parties. That was like one of our, which is, yeah, I hope that doesn't come out because I feel like we didn't ask too many people if they wanted to, but it was big crowds were, we'd be like, hey, we're going to do the thing, or we'd just be like, hey, like this is a trick. And everyone loved it, and I hope they still do. but yeah, we used to kill at parties with our teenage penises doing them. So
not too many teenagers had actual mobile phones, and I assume so that's probably a safe thing. Yeah,
yeah. I mean, I didn't say it now because I was just like I could deny it, but now I'm like, no, I've admitted it. We did.
Don't flood Jared's inbox with photos from the bank.
Please don't. I don't want to see that. I hope it's grown.
All right, so we've how can people find you on socials?
Instagram mainly. Mm-hmm. I like Instagram.
Instagram's great.
I'm struggling with the new ones.
What new ones?
TikTok and all that sort of stuff. And like, yeah. I want to keep up to date with the kids, you know, with what's going on with the new people. But I use Instagram a lot at Jared Goundry, just my name. Facebook, love a bit of Facebook, much like my old man. Yeah, just put up. I want people to follow the journey. Mm. I'm doing this. Watch me do it.
You do the journey very well. Watch me do it. I've got to say
that's half the journey. I'm not always funny on the socials, but watch where I go. I'll always keep up people up to date with what I'm doing.
Mm. And Jared has, even through COVID, been in quite a number of the states, So you've been to Brisbane, crafty. Melbourne. Yes.
I'm very crafty.
I do admire that you've got to travel in this time. So
yeah.
Might be not internationally, but yeah, domestically it's good. So NY Vents Comedy has Wednesday the 28th at the Chows, and Jared is our MC for that night. And that is Pay It Forward Day, as I said. So come along and support the arts. We really need that.
Everyone needs a laugh.
Yeah, definitely. And I might get up that night, so.
Yeah, okay.
We've had that chat.
I feel like I peer pressured you to get up.
No, you encouraged me.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And we'll just see.
The whole family's a comedy now. The boys are comedy. You're a comedian.
I don't know if I'd say that title.
Do you identify? You don't identify as a comedian.
I don't identify as anything. And then we've got Friday the 30th of April at the Corrine. That has actually sold out. We've got our Mother's Day special coming up Saturday the 7th of May and Friday the 14th of May at the Kalamunda Hotel, and then Sunday the 16th of May at Guildford Sterling Arms. You can see that at nyevents.com.au/comedy.
Thank you so much for having me.
Oh my gosh, Jared, thank you.
Always a pleasure to come down. And yeah, go see those events. What you guys are doing is incredible. Without people like you, I couldn't, you know how I was just like, oh, it's great, it's amazing, and like comedy is really like good for my soul. Without people actually organising it, I would be miserable. So,
but you organise some comedy events, don't you, in Melbourne?
So. Yeah, I do, but I don't like it half as much as like actually doing it. I just do it so I can do more of it. It's selfish.
It's not really. It's needed. Yeah, thanks for listening to Bounce Back. My name's Yvonne Fletcher and you're listening to Jared Goundry.
Thank you so much.
Have a great day.